At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
A new equation for switching on outcomes is here from PwC. It's human-led and tech-powered. It's PwC with Oracle, SAP, Salesforce, and Workday. It's PwC with Microsoft, AWS, and Google. Simplify your systems and amplify your results. Switch on outcomes with PwC and their alliances. Learn more at pwc.com.
Get reliable, secure web hosting without the long-term contract. GoDaddy's hosting plans are bigger and better than ever with 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. Best of all, plans start at just $3.95 a month. Plus, as a listener of MuggleCast, enter code MUGGLE when you check out and save an additional 10% on any order. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet today at GoDaddy.com. Because it was a couple of days late, we had some stuff to do over the weekend, and I don't have much time to edit the show and all that. This is MuggleCast episode 71 for January 9th, 2007.
OMG. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it.
What?
You know, first we get the title. You know, we get the title a few weeks ago. That's big news. But there's even bigger news today.
What?
Fox canceled the OC.
Well, permanently.
Permanently. Right. It's gone. Off TV.
Why? Why?
I don't know. California, no more. I don't know. They just
California, here we don't come.
Yeah. I know. I read an editorial a little bit ago. It was like a New York Post or something where they completely written. No, it was The Guardian, actually. The Manchester Guardian.
Co.uk. Oh, awesome.
They read an editorial saying that they just completely rehashed the same plot lines. And
is it true?
Yeah, I was devastated. Yeah, actually it was because I stopped watching after season two. So
what's so dead in it? And they cancelled it because the Manchester Guardian ripped on them. That's
that's pretty much it.
The power of Hollywood.
No, actually, they just cancelled it because people sort of stopped caring.
Really?
Like MuggleCast.
Well, my sister almost cried when she found out.
Does she know they got cancelled?
Yeah. But, yeah.
Oh, my God, Andrew. But like I said, I think we're going to get cancelled next. We're done after this.
Yeah, the Manchester Guardian ran a story last week that MuggleCast just uses the same inside joke, doesn't do anything new, doesn't talk about Harry Potter. Say, we're destroyed next week.
Yeah, that's an
it's
omen.
Our last show ever.
Hard pressed to move on. I'm Ben Shane. I'm back, people.
I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm back.
I'm Jamie Lawrence.
I'm Eric Skull.
And I'm Laura Thompson.
The first three Harry Potter DVDs were removed from U.S. shelves this past week, with the Goblet of Fire DVD coming off on January 22nd. Warner Home Video has announced that the DVDs will be re-released later this year in high-definition format. WHVHD DVDs, say that five times fast, offer resolution six times higher than regular DVDs, as well as vibrant color, contrast, and sound. MTV has released a list of the top 10 must-see movies of 2007. Order of the Phoenix came in at the top ahead of Pirates of the Caribbean, At World's End, and Spider-Man 3. Harry Potter has been revealed the fifth most searched term on MSN during 2006. With a movie and possibly a book out later this year, we can expect it to reach the number one spot or close to it in 2007. HarryLatino.com has released a new interview with Daniel Radcliffe, conducted a number of months ago. In it, the actor discusses what his boggart would be, Ivana Lynch, his desire to visit Mexico, and more. And just 8 hours after the title of Book 7 was announced, the novel hit the number one spot on Amazon UK's book chart. The staggering success of the book is further illustrated by the fact it is now outselling all other books in the top 10 list combined. On top of that, the adult edition of Deathly Hallows is sitting at number 2 on the chart. No release date has been set. Despite that fact, Christopher North, Amazon UK's head of books, said thousands of people in homes and offices across the UK have been going online to reserve their copy. If the initial response is anything to go by, this could be the biggest selling Harry Potter book of all time. The biggest selling Harry Potter book of all time? You think? That's all the news for this January 9th, 2007 edition of MuggleCast. Back to the show.
Thanks for that, Micah. Guys, just me as the news kind of been a bit slow the past week. I mean, there's a Dumbledore figurine. I mean, that's about it.
It's worked out for us, though, because we haven't been around to post much of it.
Yeah, that's true. So, Andrew, are you going to buy a Dumbledore figurine? I bet Jamie would.
I already pre-ordered mine, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I bet they're invincible.
Just like Michael Gambon.
Andrew, Jamie, and myself were all out in the Sin City, Las Vegas, for New Year. And that was fun. And Jamie's actually in Andrew's MuggleCast recording studio this week.
Yeah. The amount of equipment here is, oh, God.
It's so awkward here. We should use a photo booth right now. Take a picture.
Seriously.
They're so close to each other. Ben, it's like 2 inches of space.
Thanks, Apple, for making the iPod cables so short.
I didn't realize that there was so much...
Talk into the mic.
Okay, Ben, I didn't realize that there was so much equipment here. You should see his setup. He's got... microphones.
3 watt amp.
Yeah. 3 watt amp.
Right next to the easy button.
Microphones. You know, it's just ridiculous. He must have spent thousands.
Eric, what did you do for New Year?
I was in Myrtle Beach, actually, and it rained and got foggy, so they canceled the fireworks.
Well, that sounds like a waste of time.
Yeah, really.
Actually, as the clock struck midnight, in the crowd of 300,000 people, Jamie Lawrence was on my shoulders.
Where
it was awesome.
Kidding?
We were down the strip and the fireworks went off. It was great.
Hey, Ben, should I tell the story about the countdown?
Yeah, it was awesome.
So we'd walked down from the hotel to the strip. We couldn't walk that far because it was packed. Even though Emerson was like, "Oh, come on, let's walk further." And what Emerson didn't seem to realize is that you can't walk into a sort of crowd full of people that, you know, won't move at all. So anyway, we stopped, and there were about 300,000 people there. And I was sitting on Ben's shoulders, watching the countdown like an excited child that I was. And there was like a huge countdown that started off at sort of 30 and then counted down. But we could only see half of it because there was a sort of part of a hotel blocking it. So it said sort of 9. So we shouted out 9, and then 8, and then we're thinking, oh yeah, 10 seconds to New Year. So 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then on 0, we sort of jumped about screaming, and then we looked around and we realized that only sort of, you know, 35 other people were doing this as well. And then we realized that it had actually been 29, 28, 27. So we looked across and found that there was another countdown still counting down. So first embarrassing
moment.
So it
was kind of anticlimactic, to say the least.
So the last embarrassing moment of the year actually happened on the countdown.
Before.
And so 300,000 people, you said. Was Emerson trying to give out MuggleNet stickers this time?
Believe it or not, he was.
He put them into one of the fireworks that dispersed them all over the place, and so everyone got one.
Yeah. Now, Laura, what were you doing?
I worked, and then I came home. And
so was there a big celebration at Target?
No, there was not. I was only there till 6, and then I came home and I stayed up till 12:30, and I went to bed so I could get up and go to work again. Very exciting.
That sounds like my life. I'm glad I left that place. I would have been at the theater upstairs in the long dark projection hallways, just sitting there with my wristwatch and not even like a working radio.
But you would have loved it, admit it.
And only the small voices inside your head to keep you company, Eric.
We have a few announcements this week. Podcast Alley, are we still the top podcast?
We were, actually. Just...
Well, listen, I mean, even if we're not on the Podcast Alley list, we're always number one.
Yeah, but, in your hearts and minds and
say,
souls.
We're being extremely arrogant this week. Too arrogant. We need to cut it back slightly.
So go ahead and vote for us on Podcast Alley. Show your support for MuggleCast. Also, MuggleNet.com is what will happen in Harry Potter 7. Thanks to those of you who came out and saw Emerson at the bookstore this Saturday. I'm sure you guys had a grand old time. You collected your MuggleNet stickers. Remember, our book, MuggleNet.com's what will happen in Harry Potter 7, who lives, who dies, who falls in love, and how the adventure finally ends. By me, Jamie, Emerson, Andy, and Gretchen. You can go pick up during your bookstores. And this is sort of our first listener rebuttal this week because somebody was absolutely infuriated that we published a book. Ben, I have no idea how old he is. He sent me an email. He said, this is not me, by the way. This is a different Ben. He said, he basically an insult to the name. The book that you're putting out is disgusting. Being Harry Potter fans, how can you possibly feel just in actually selling a bunch of speculation to kids? The reason that people like me listen to MuggleCast is to get ideas and see what other people think that might happen in the last installment. But why should I even listen to that anymore, considering every time the members of the cast arrive to a Book 7 issue, they'll have to skip it with a, "Don't want to ruin our book," or, "If you want to know our thoughts, buy the book." In all sincerity, there's no reason to even come back to the site since all the cool thoughts and perspectives are now going to be sold. You guys are just a bunch of nerdy suits. Very disrespectfully, Ben. P.S. In addition, why would you want to try and ruin the last book? Hey, Jamie, didn't you have a little response to this
Ben
character?
You see, Ben, I would love to tell Ben, like I told that girl from Glasgow, if you... We used to go to act like the sky at 6 a.m. and lighten up, but I've just spent 14 hours sleeping, so I haven't seen morning, so I don't know if it still does light up at 6 a.m. So I think I'm going to be nice to him. Is he trying to say that you shouldn't come and listen to the show now because all of the stuff we talk about is in this book, yeah? But that's
or that we're going to stop talking because
you
should read our book instead.
That's completely untrue because
the show is impromptu. We come up with new theories all the time.
Yeah, and the book isn't inclusive of every MuggleNet staff member's opinion.
No,
so
and the book is basically
you have to remember that.
The book is basically a summary of all of the ideas we had, and there are opinions in that book, Andy, Gretchen's, Emerson's, that haven't ever been on the show. You know, Emerson's been on once, stuff like that, and we don't always say, "Oh, we don't want to ruin the book," or "If you want to know our thoughts, buy the book." We may say, "If you want to know more, buy our book," or "If you want to know more about our thoughts, buy it." But all of the cool thoughts and perspectives are not going to be sold. You know,
we're not holding back. We're not holding
exactly.
the back and, for the sake of the
and
book.
We know already that there's more that we could add to the book. You know, the books, I mean, it's, we haven't got, you know, the title stuff in there because, you know, the title was released afterwards. So we can't talk about, you know, the title of Book 7 and say, "Well, read the book," because we haven't, and we still talk about that. We still talk about, you know, Snape being evil. We still talk about Dumbledore being dead on here, even though we've got it in the book. It's just, if you want a collection of, you know, points and stuff, then buy the book. And there's other stuff in there, like, you know, chapters about how far we've come in the Harry Potter world, you know, chapters about what we're going to do after Book 7 finishes. It's, you know, it's a work in itself. It's not anything to do with...
It's different. I mean, we talk about news on here. We talk about, like, this week's discussion is going to be completely different, something we never put in the book. So it's not necessarily, you know, it isn't like we're taking away from the book by having the show.
And
they're not mutually exclusive. They can coexist.
Exactly. And we are in no way trying to ruin the last book. If we wanted to do that, we'd go down to the local Borders and pin up posters saying what we think is going to happen. You know, if you want to buy the book and read about it, that's fine, but
nobody's forcing
it on anyone.
Yeah, so remember, you can purchase this at Borders. If you're going to order it on the internet, please support MuggleNet and order it through Olivan's, our online retailer. Yeah, they're our partner, so order it through there. Yeah, like I said before, I was kind of gone the past 5 weeks, so, you know, we had the title happen, we had, you know, all kinds of crazy Harry Potter stuff going on. So I just wanted to briefly, you know, interject what I think about Deathly Hallows means, the title, the release date. Okay, first of all, with Deathly Hallows, I'm not going to be all philosophical and try to define what the Hallows are. I mean, if you want to know what the Hallows are...
Read our book.
No, actually, I don't know what Deathly Hallows means. I'm not. I mean, listen to the other episode if you want to hear some more speculation on that. I don't. I think it's just, you know, souls, something like that. However, on the release date, something to brag about here is if you look, go back and listen to episode 22. I said that we were going to get the title of Book 7 at the end of 2006. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I was right. So I just thought I just felt any...
When was this?
Episode 22.
Oh, okay.
Good work, man.
Actually, I didn't remember saying that. Someone emailed in, so thank you, Little Roxy Chick 16, for telling me that I was right. Because, yeah, you know me. I never miss... I never miss an opportunity to brag, so...
No.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator. Oh, the release date. I was pretty adamant about it being 2008, but some tells me it could be this summer, but I don't know. I'm not so sure anymore. It's a coin toss. If I'm going to pick a date, it's going to be end of July, if anything. So remember this episode. When we get the release date, you can come back. July 2007 or July 2008, one or the other.
Oh, well, oh, geez. Well, me and Jamie were talking about this. If we, I mean, we're going to be excited to have the release date if it is July 2007, but we're also going to be upset.
Puts a date on the end. It's like the expiration date of the Harry Potter.
Not just that.
We have talked about this, and we have a debate about it later on in the show. So
that is a good point, so we should be talking about it now, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Speaking of titles, this week's main discussion is a sort of a new take, a new spin on what the title could mean, and Micah came up with this, but we're discussing The Hanged Man, and if you look at the Goblet of Fire, it's the name of the bar in the beginning where the townsfolk are discussing the Riddle murders.
In Little Hangleton. You know, yes.
In Little Hangleton. Yeah, Hangleton. Yeah. And so, a connection comes in is hallow. The word hallow, Deathly Hallows, is an archaic word for the word for gallows, a frame typically wooden used for execution by hanging. And one of the definitions of hallows is actually a site where a person is hanged. So we're thinking there may be some type of connection between gallow and hallow. And since the hanged man is in the book, you know, there could be some correlation there.
Doesn't that kind of just reinforce the death link?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's about all of the discussion that we've had has come back to the fact that, you know, whatever interpretation of the title we give, it always comes back to that it's about death. But if you want to know more, read our book. Can't say anymore.
Kind of looking at that a little literally, do you think that Harry is actually going to see any form of gallows in the seventh book?
I don't think he needs to see gallows. The emphasis is on the Hanged Man as a village pub in the town where Voldemort is, you know, his ancestry is from. You know, both the Gaunts and the Riddle family lived presumably either in or on the outskirts of Little Hangleton. So the fact that they have a pub called the Hanged Man just emphasizes that, you know, there's something big with death having to do, you know, and Voldemort has that connection. You know, all these titles and things we're getting, I think it's just about Voldemort's quest for immortality and coming to an end.
And, you know, this Hanged Man stuff is really the ultimate overanalyzation. But, you know, folks, it's what we do.
I don't think so. I think Micah presented an interesting case. Yeah. I mean,
well, it's interesting. I mean, but I don't know realistically what correlation is going to be. But so a lot of people have emailed in about the Hanged Man or the being a tarot card. Which is that what Miss Cleo and all those people used to do? You know, you see the hotlines on TV. Call Miss Cleo, honey. We can do that. The tarot card will tell you future. And it's symbolism points to divinities. And in all the stories, the destruction of self brings life to humanity. And this is from Wikipedia and just basically what the card is. On the card, these are symbolized respectively by the hangman, the living tree from which he swings. Its relationship to other cards usually involves personal loss for a greater gain. So the relation to Hallows and the Hanged Man represents, you know, as I said, the personal loss for a greater gain, which in a way sort of represents what Harry may or may be doing.
It represents I don't personally think that Harry is a Horcrux, but that's what that could represent. Yeah. You know, he loses his life for the greater gain of getting rid of Voldemort, but...
Or someone else's.
That's a horrible
He doesn't necessarily have to be a Horcrux. He could die in the process somehow.
Or also, destruction of self could also mean destruction of those close to oneself in a way. I mean, you know, if you suffer some losses, you are, you know, some people feel like half a person, et cetera, something like that.
Yeah.
It's about sacrifice, trials, and suffering. Yeah. I don't think he'll be happy about it this time.
I agree. Going back to the literal meaning, though, I mean, Deathly Hallows, if this theory brought up by Mike is anything to be believed, doesn't it mean deathly hangings? Wouldn't that be essentially what it means?
It's not a word you can say, deathly hangings, because it has so many different meanings and was chosen for exactly that.
Well, what exactly does archaic word mean?
Well, archaic is
fallen out of usage.
Well, archaic is like ancient.
No, it's not. It's just one that's fallen out of popular usage. Like,
we're gonna have to. Hold on.
Yeah, but yeah. So it's basically. I mean, can they be used interchangeably, or is just?
No.
So it means at one time, hallow meant gallow. They were same thing.
Mm-hmm. Using them in the word form that JKR has by saying deathly hallows, she created the word. Basically, I mean, hallow is obviously a word that has many, many meanings, but using it in the form that she does with the title is completely – so you can't, you know, substitute deathly gallows, deathly horcruxes, deathly
saints. No, exactly. You can't substitute it, yeah.
Yeah, you can't substitute it because it has many different meanings, and it's open to interpretation, but also you can't substitute it because it's not an actual word the way she's using it.
By the way, archaic means very old or old-fashioned.
No. But
there's multiple meanings. We're looking it up too right now.
Yeah.
Linguistically, it means commonly used in an earlier time but rarely used in present day, except to suggest the older time, as in religious rituals or historical novels. Examples include thou, methinks, forsooth, stuff like that.
But either way, does it really matter?
No, I can't really talk about this. This couldn't be less relevant if we tried.
Does that mean that there was some kind of hanging that went on, I don't know, in the past maybe that Harry's going to learn about?
No, and especially it doesn't mean that some kind of hanging actually took place. I mean, it could have, but the hanging is death. People were being put to death. It's life, death, sacrifice, the whole nine yards. It doesn't mean that there was a hanging that took place that is going to be significant in the books.
Yeah, but with the hanged man, you know, the tarot card and all that, there's also an association with being, like, with life and the runes. This is from Wikipedia. It says, the hanged man is often associated with Odin, the primary god of the Norse pantheon. Odin hung upside down from the world tree, Yggdrasil, I can't say it, for 9 days in order to gain knowledge of the runes. Well, which the Norse cosmology regarded as the source and the end of all mystery and all knowledge. The moment he glimpsed the runes, he died, but the knowledge of them was so powerful that he immediately returned to life. This interpretation highlights the necessity of undertaking acts of personal sacrifice in order to achieve one's higher spiritual good.
This is so deep.
But I know. Micah did a great job with this. It's saying, so Hermione is in ancient runes. So, you know, this is all a big stretch, but do you think there's any way that Hermione's knowledge of runes could come into play with saving a life, particularly Harry's? I mean, could Harry become a Horcrux? Say an event that Harry is a Horcrux, okay? He dies, but somehow Hermione saves him? I mean, am I way out there? Am I stupid?
No, you're not. I think
don't answer that, Jamie.
I think what's important to remember is whenever we looked up, you know, the definition of archaic a minute ago, it talked about using a word only in reference to a previous time. And if they're going searching for a Horcrux, and they're obviously going to be going to places, as the title might suggest, that are older, Hermione's ability to be able to, you know, her ability to read runes could come in useful, maybe not to save a life, but to help steer Harry in the right direction.
The Frey, hard to save a life, comes into my mind.
That's what I was going to say. How to save a life. Okay. It's important to see, because there also could be, besides just the Harry saving, sacrificing himself here, the most common interpretation of the card is of an outcast of society that appears to be a fool, but is actually in complete alignment. Now, this to me points directly to Snape. So could Snape be sacrificing himself for the greater gain because he's actually on the side of the Order of the Phoenix?
Well, read the second half of this. The upside-downness of the hangman gives him an advantage that outsiders are unable to see or understand. this reminds me of James Potter and you know, his inability to let the prejudice die that Snape is only bad and only bad. But, you know, whereas many people, including Harry, have fallen under that suspicion.
And doesn't he hang Snape upside
down? Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Oh, my gosh, he does.
He does. He hangs him upside down. Oh, my gosh. You know what, people? This is the clue. This is it. This is... He hangs Snape upside. So Snape is a hangman. Does that mean Snape is the
actually, and also, you have to take into consideration that Book 6 was all about Snape, and Snape could be the key to the series, so Book 7 could be as well.
Yeah.
Well, it's true, and not to get too ahead of ourselves, there is... wasn't Harry or Seamus or also held upside down? Ron was, because you know that's the spell. But Snape created the spell Levicorpus, so it kind of does emphasize him more than anybody.
Right,
else.
But what really comes to mind though when you think of, you know, you just mentioned James Potter, you know, he hung Snape upside down, sort of tormented him, and we saw that in Book 5 actually, and so yeah, that's very interesting because, you know, if some people think Snape will sacrifice himself, and I think it makes sense. I mean, if he is on the good side, you know, a greater gain, people for the Order, a lot of them, well, I guess those who don't know think he's a fool. Everyone hates Snape now. You know, the Harry Potter community hates Snape. But what if in reality he is in complete alignment and he is, you know, working towards a greater cause?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, are we all in consensus that Snape is good?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah.
I sort of think this comes back to one may live while the other survives when talking about the Norse.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, just, that could have been weaker.
Yeah, the other thing, I'll try and help you out. Just the existence of the Norse things and the fact that Hermione a few books ago was studying ancient runes. I think it was a few books ago. Might have been Book 6, but things like this are thrown in. You know, just the fact that Hermione is studying ancient runes, even if it never comes into a play, which I think it actually might. Lara, you convinced me that that's pretty good. I think it'll play a role in at least reading things and understanding them, not necessarily saving lives, but just the fact that Norse things are in here, you know, Odin and the things. I know there were other references in Book 5 and 6, especially Book 5, about the Norse gods. And there's all these similar comparisons to Norse mythology.
Like,
you know, I'd have to look up and find them.
Fenrir Greyback is a – he's from Norse
– Yeah, Greyback.
Fenrir Greyback is from mythology as well because of the wolf Fenris who got too strong for his bounds. And
that's brilliant. How do you remember that?
Devoured Wikipedia. And he devoured – who was it? Odin. I think it was Odin at the feast. At Ragnarok, the end of the world. So yeah,
and Ragnarok is like Ragnarok, which is a goblin name in Harry Potter.
He is. So they talk about him in Book 5 when they're talking about whether the goblins will go across to Voldemort's side.
Excellent. Yes, yeah, so all these things emphasize Norse mythology.
Am I the only one that has a problem with like making all of these connections? You know, we start talking about mythology and then like trying to fit it all into one
the
big picture.
Just awesome, Ben. It's just you.
Yeah, that's probably. I really wouldn't be surprised. And the final symbolism for the hangman is the hangman is every hero committed enough to the adventure to die for it. So those who think Harry is going to die, you know, to save the world or whatever, the ultimate sacrifice, it makes sense.
Every hero committed enough to the adventure to die for it. I love that. It makes Dumbledore hangman.
Do you think in Book 7 Harry could be willing to sacrifice himself, but in the end something miraculous happens where he doesn't have to?
He's willing now, though, isn't he, already?
Well, Eric, you said Dumbledore is the hanged man. That actually is true, because everyone thought he was a fool.
Yeah, exactly. You know what people try and play him off as a fool. I mean, I'm reminded of the Beatles song, Fool on a Hill, you know. Well on the way, head in a cloud. Man with a thousand voices talking perfectly loud. Dumbledore's been saying all along, you know, this stuff's happening. They play him off as a fool. They play Snape off as being evil. They play Harry off as a fool. It's interesting to see the correlation between people who are committed enough to die and they're being discredited by the people who claim to be, you know, committed to the adventure.
It's deep stuff.
It is deep. I love this. I love this job.
It is very good. It's a very good discussion.
I'm sorry.
Micah Tannenbaum's a pimp.
Yo, you're a
deep man with deep discussions.
I thought we were like
– and a deep voice for that matter. Yeah. Hey-o.
I thought we were in over our heads. I saw this like in over our
another
heads.
Frey song.
Yeah. What? No, like I was gonna make the like Aunt Marge over our heads, but you know.
I guess it's kind of a leap because you have to go from Hallows, meaning gallows, to the Hanged Man, which isn't Harry Potter, to be fair. So, I mean, there's some association there, and Joe likes to go back to mythology, look to these type of things. So, even if it's, I mean, I think it somehow symbolically represents what we've seen thus far.
Yeah.
If not in the future, because, you know, like Dumbledore.
And nobody's
sacrifice.
Yeah, make no mistake, too. Nobody's specifically saying, okay, you know, J.K. Rowling had to have absolutely put, you know, the Village Pub Hangman, you know, in there for this thing. No, you know, I believe that she is, but nobody's actually saying that. What we're also working with is a literary scholar. I mean, you forget J.K.R. is absolutely fantastic with literacy, with everything. Oh my God, her word choice and everything. Plus, you're also working with one language, the English language, which is the language that is such a copper melting pot for other terms. So you use things like Hallows, you use Norse mythology, you use everything else like that, and you can't help but find things that actually come together and have the same meaning and are all interrelated. I mean, you know, J.K.R., one of the things I think we're grateful for, one of the things I'm grateful for, is the fact that she knows her stuff, and, you know, it's just incorporated, you know, Grimm.
And it is pretty amazing how she sort of takes from everything, you know. And, like, I don't know, I read an analogy once that she's sort of taken from every little story out there, you know, used Latin words, everything, you know, all these different interpretations, all these different...
She's well-read and...
Facets.
Yeah, exactly. Well, even the word Grimm, I mean, even if it's a subconscious thing, she gets it in there. The word Grimm appeared, like, 500 times in Book 5. I mean, easily 500. I mean, you don't even count it.
I think, well, you probably have. Yeah. I really think, I don't know, this might sound stupid, but I really think that the reason the title,
yeah,
she uses the word Hallows in the book is because it can go really deep, like Mike had made this reference to. So in that sense, I think it's completely possible that this Hangman theory could play some sort of role.
Maybe we should do some... this may sound dumb. Well, yeah, that's dumb. I mean, I'm sorry.
What?
I would say, like, look to the Half-Blood Prince and see, try to find any other, like,
references.
If we were to
hanging.
Analyze. No, I mean, just not hanging. I'm just saying, like, prior to Half-Blood Prince, we didn't have Muggle cast then. I was wondering how we would have analyzed Half-Blood Prince prior to it being released.
Okay. I don't know. What would we have to say about Half-Blood Prince? You can't really... It's sort of, it doesn't go as deep as we're like Hallows.
I don't know. Prior to it, we probably would have analyzed it quite a bit. But I don't think we ever in a million years would have came up with Half-Blood Prince, you know, being someone's last name.
I think that the difference is linguistic, because you can analyze, both titles in as much depth. But so the only linguistic analysis you can have on the Half-Blood Prince is whether it's a prince that's Half-Blood or the Prince of the Half-Bloods. And other than that, it's a pretty, you know, clear what it's talking about, whereas Deathly Hallows could literally be.
So there's so much
anything.
More interpretation.
Yeah, she totally, I mean, she, it was kind of an easy thing, but I think that fit with what she was trying to do with Book 6. You know, she said it's a lead into Book 7. It's like part one of Book 7 and, you know, part 6 of this whole thing, the only one before the end, you know, before the final roller coaster ride. It's
crazy. Well, I have a hard time believing that, you know, it's 2007 now, and Book 6 is like... 6 months from now, it's going to be 2 years. It's going to be nearly 4 years since Book 5. You know, it's just, it's crazy. And which leads us to this week's debate. I don't think we've had a debate for a while. I've been gone for 5 weeks, but I still don't think it's been around for a while. Has it, guys?
Yeah. Last one we did was the Halloween show. We did Jamie's idea of a debate.
Because you can't do one without me, because, you know, I'm the master debater. Oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Dot.
Well, this week we're actually going to be discussing whether or not Joe should be releasing the book July of 2007, or she should wait longer. So the exact wording of this week's topic is, Joe should release the book in the month of July. Jamie and Andrew, since they're kind of in the same studio right now, they're going to be debating, negating this, saying that it should not be released in July 2007.
Actually,
and
to
Eric
be honest with you, it probably would have been more fun if we were on opposite sides, because it'd be easier to go back and forth.
Yeah. And now Eric and Laura will be affirming the resolution, saying that we should release the book this July, which is only, you know, 6 months away. So you have 2 minutes, Eric and Laura.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that the book should come out in July of 2007, just because it's when the fans are expecting it. And I know a lot of people really feel like we should draw the fandom out and we should make it last as long as we can. But I've always been a firm believer that you want to go out with people cheering for you. And even if it's a little sad, at least you went out while it was still good and while people were still excited about it. And it could be kind of, you know, really, really drawn out. You know, you wait 3 years between these two books that Joe has said are two halves of the same novel. It's kind of like, come on, let's get it out already. Second, it's, you know, July is 1 month during 2007 where it's actually going to work. Because if you look at the calendar, it's the 1 month that most schools are not in session, because some schools will be in session, you know, through June. Some start back in August. July is the 1 month that everyone has in common for summer vacation. It's also not as busy as other times of the year. I know some people have been thinking about, you know, October, maybe even Christmas. And, you know, you think about it, wintertime's not a good, you know, it's not a good time for that because it's so busy. And the spring isn't a good time either because retail and sales at that point are absolutely dead.
Yeah, Laura definitely touched on the fans want it now. You know, as long as the hype is going to, I mean, it's debatable whether the hype will be here the next 5 years or, you know, only a short amount of time. And if it is a short amount of time that the hype's here, JKR herself is a firm believer of, you know, do it while it's out. I mean, she said that's her whole reason of doing 7 books is, you know, she said, I think you've got to do it once you've done it. Go out with a bang. She said that live on an interview that I heard. So if the craze is ending, it makes sense to get it out sooner before later.
Well, that's time right there. Now, Jamie and Andrew, plead your case.
Okay, what Laura was saying about the excitement only lasting, you know, the fans will only take so much. The excitement will last until the book comes out. That's the whole point about Harry Potter and how it's different from other books. The excitement, you know, the fans will wait 10 years if they have to wait 10 years, and especially because it's the final book in the series. You know, it's the one, it's the Harry Potter book that closes everything, sums up everything, and tells you how the adventure will finally end. So, you know, they'll
actually, if you're looking for a book to help you out now, I mean...
And just because the other books have come out in July, June, you know, it doesn't mean this one will. In fact, since it's the last one, it'll be extremely nice if it came out at a different time to emphasize the fact that it's the, you know, ultimate final Harry Potter book. And school can be worked around. You know, people don't go to school on Saturday. They could have a huge Saturday night release and then give them Sunday to recover and read. You know, it always can be worked around. And also... October 31st, you know, or around that time, especially October 31st, that's when the adventure started, when Voldemort killed Harry's parents, so it'll be nice to end it around then. And you know, considering the mood of the book, it's going to be dark, a winter release would be very, very, very good. And it just makes no sense releasing it in July, because you're just going to have movie versus book. Let's not forget that these things are, you know, it's a franchise, the Harry Potter franchise. It's not for Joe, maybe, but for the big bosses. It's to make money. So, you know, pitting them against each other isn't worthwhile. And we should have the movie, and we can all enjoy the movie. And then after that, we'll still have time to look forward to the book. If it comes out 2 months after the movie comes out, or a month after the movie, that'll be it. We'll have movie, book, end of Harry Potter for, like,
Fans like to be able to speculate, and they want to be able to, you know, wake up every day and be like, oh, I get another day of awesome, you know, going on COS forums and whatnot to speculate and analyze and all that stuff. If, you know, if it's coming, Jamie's making some. No, shut up. You're playing this line. If Eric had if the fans like to wait. They like the anticipation. They like the big build-up. If there's a movie and then 2 or 3 weeks later you get a book, it's not as exciting, because then by the summer's end, you're going to be like, shoot, I'm back to school, and there's nothing Harry Potter to look forward to except for a new movie in November 2008.
So, okay, guys. Discuss. Openly discuss.
Okay, I really don't think it's fair to say that the book and the movie coming out really close to each other will kill the hype. I think if anything, it'll increase the hype, because think about for instance, last summer, whenever we thought, oh, we're just going to go to Vegas for a week, and then they tacked on the J.K. Rowling reading right afterward, that just made it 10 times better. And just thinking about having these two huge events within weeks of each other, the entire summer would be a huge Harry Potter fest. It would be absolutely fun. And yeah, it would be sad when you ended it, but at the same time, you have all these great memories to look back on and think about how you had an entire Harry Potter summer.
But think, as a Harry Potter fan, once your summer's over and then all of a sudden you go back to school and you're like, oh my god, there's
Harry Potter's over.
For once, I don't have a Harry Potter.
That's not true. We're perfect examples of that. We sit here and analyze the show weekly and we haven't had a book in over a year.
Only because we know there's still going to be a book. What are we going to do? We're going to be, what's going to happen in the next Harry? Oh wait, over.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be able to discuss book 7, but you're going to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. There's going to be, you know, you're going to know when we're going to start running out of stuff to do.
Yeah, but that time has got to come eventually, and you can't just sit here and keep putting it off just because you don't want it to.
Of course not, but no, but that isn't the case. It's if she should do it, not what you want. And
Plus, imagine if Joe had an extra year to write this book.
Think how amazing it would be.
Yeah. If she had a whole entire year.
So are you saying that it wouldn't be amazing now?
No, I'm saying there is a chance that in 1 year she will think, oh, I wish I just had a bit longer, and I would put that extra thing in about Snape, or I'd have explained whether Voldemort, you know, just one thing about his
She's
chosen.
Always going to have
ideas
those,
develop.
Though.
No, ideas obviously develop, and if we just give her a year longer and show her that we aren't concerned about it being rushed out, then perhaps she'll put something in that we've always wanted to know, except from, you know, instead of just getting it out quickly. So we can have a Harry Potter summer.
Plus, like I've said before, this is Harry Potter forever. So once this book is written and published, there's no going back. So if she had an extra year to sit there, even if it was done, within the next couple of months. Sorry, Jamie has a harder time not playing with everything on my desk. If she had an extra year to just sit there, will you stop touching that?
Wait a minute, what's going on here?
It doesn't matter. If she had an extra year to sit there and just go through the book, even if it was done in February, March, whatever, she had an extra year to sit there and go through the book and say, I want to change this little tidbit, I want to change this little bit. It would be perfect. It would be the perfect book. And I think that would make it worth it. If it was the perfect Harry Potter book in her mind.
I concur.
Which would make it the perfect Harry Potter book in ours. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
No, you won't. You're going to New York tomorrow.
Yeah, but what you've got to remember, though, is she's been planning these books for 13, 14 years now. And I really have the sneaking suspicion that she really knows what's going to happen in book 7. Yeah, she's got to write it.
Well, I hope so. Really? She's writing it.
No, but what I'm
you
saying
asked for that
is...
One. Laura, you asked for that.
Yeah, I know I did. But anyway, what I'm saying is that she's been planning this for so long that I'm not really sure another year would make a difference. She's been perfectly upfront with us before. Like when Order of the Phoenix was coming out, she said, I want a bit more of a tweak with it. She hasn't been saying anything like that about the 7th book, which leads me to believe that she is planning to release it in July of 2007.
But the title has just come out. She's only just decided what she's going to call it. How can she know for sure and have enough
of the grasp? How do you know she's just decided?
Because,
she's just released
because,
it.
Because in Order of the Phoenix, we had the whole, you know, at the solstice will come a new thing, and the solstice is December 21st. Christopher Little trademarked that title 2 days before she came up with it.
That morning,
it was that morning, and she was juggling three titles in her head. If she decided that the morning before she was supposed to release it, that I don't think she could release the book in 6 or so months. Also, what you were talking about it, Harry Potter going out with a bang with a Harry Potter summer with the movie. It's the 5th movie and the 7th book are incomparable, completely incomparable. You cannot call it a Harry Potter summer. It would be
Sure you can. It's still a craze. It doesn't matter. It's still a hype.
Yeah, of course it's a craze. Yes, you're right. It is a craze. But it's that people will be going to the movie thinking, yeah, this is going to be awesome, but I wish it was 3 weeks away so I could get the book. And also, it would go out with such a bang if we had 3 years off, you know, 6 book, 2 years movie, then a 3rd year, and then had a huge celebration for the end of Harry Potter. It makes so much more sense than combining, you know, one film and the amazing book into one summer and then thinking, oh, well, it's downhill from here because there's nothing left to go.
Well, I hate to cut you guys off, but I was really enjoying listening to this because, you know, it's good to get your guys' input on it and have a nice little structured debate.
Give them one more point if they want, because I ended it.
I think Laura and I pretty much pwned you all. So I mean, we're going to see this poll is going to come up this week. You know, we're going to see who wins. But I don't think it's even debatable that Laura and especially me made accurate points about. So yeah, if JKR. JKR is going to be completely off her rocker. I mean, if it doesn't come out this July, if she doesn't rush it and rush the heck out of it and make it a mess,
Eric.
It will absolutely come out this July. I guarantee. You know, I will. I don't know what I'll do, but it's coming out. And Laura and I just won that, so we should move on because I don't want, you know, Andrew and Jamie to feel bad.
You're a little too high on yourself today.
They're already in Jersey. It's bad enough for them, so.
Okay, well, Ben, I'd just like you to know that I'll be voting for Andrew and Jamie in that poll. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so a few things here. To me, my own little opinion here quickly. Personally, I see there's a, you know, it'd be a good thing, be a bad thing if it's released this summer. I think the fact, you know, the big Harry Potter extravaganza that was mentioned before will be pretty cool. But Jamie raised an interesting point when he said that people are going, there'll be some people saying, I wish it was 2 weeks away. But at the same time, I don't know necessarily if that's a bad thing because they're still going to see the movie. I think from a corporate standpoint, it's likely that they're going to spread them out a bit because, you know, of course, it'll be a big summer regardless. I just think, you know, if you haven't spread out, you can let the hype build a little bit longer. However, the way it was debated, I'm going to have to go with Jamie and Andrew on this one.
Well, Ben, you're wrong. Ben, you're
Eric,
wrong. You're
said,
wrong,
Eric,
Ben.
Eric, you didn't really seem like you believed in what you were saying.
That cannot be farther from the truth, Ben. That is so wrong. I'm just tired of how wrong you are all the time.
They just made the most points. They just really proved that we shouldn't have it this summer because she needs more time to – she needs to take her time with it. She doesn't need to rush it. It's the last book. It needs to be perfect. So,
High five.
Vote for who you think has won this debate on MuggleCast.com as soon as you finish listening to the show. Or go ahead and do it right now, MuggleCast.com. It'll give you something to do while you're listening. So. Okay, a few listener questions this week from Graham, 34, from Seattle, Washington. Hey, MuggleCast, if a person uses older hairs of him or herself in Apologies Potion, would they become a younger version of themselves? Or could Voldemort, for instance, possibly use part of himself as a kid to breach Hogwarts by going in as a student? What do you think? Thanks.
I don't see why not, but I don't see why not. Well, but why would you want to do that? Other than confusing people.
Well, do you guys think it's possible, though?
It's a question of, like, is it DNA or what? Because I'm almost inclined to say no. I mean, if you use older hairs of yourself, it's still yourself.
It's still your...
It's still the same DNA.
It's a question, too, because if something bad happens to you, you know, like you lose a leg or something, and then you, you know, you use the Polyjuice Potion, and the hairs were taken at the time when it didn't have a leg, like... Is there some magical all-knowing thing that says, okay, this person lost a leg, so when I create you into this person, you're not going to have a leg? I mean, what exactly determines that? I think it's cool.
Well, yeah. But the second part of the question, I think there's got to be some type of protection that Dumbledore has put on the castle to stop that happening. Because, like, you know, the Polyjuice Potion is a well-known, well-documented, you know, disguise. I don't think he'd ever slip
well,
up and allow.
I agree with you, Jamie, 100,000%. Except Mad Eye Moody, and the other thing, I want to say that too, but unfortunately too. Dumbledore should have just put anti-Voldemort things on the castle. I'm sure he could. No, but listen, he got in on the back of Quirrell's head. I mean, I was thinking the other day, okay, we want to believe that Dumbledore is smart and intelligent and can tell when Voldemort's near him. But Quirrell, he was in the back of Quirrell's head, and Dumbledore was sitting right with him.
Well, he didn't have any anti-keeping dictator on the back of your head protections, but he might have had a...
Yeah, but Harry's scar didn't even go off. I mean, well, it did when he was kind of close to him. But Dumbledore, of all people, if he can detect the smallest, oh, you have to cut yourself to put it on the rock here, he should have known Voldemort was in the castle. I mean, I don't want to be casting down on Dumbledore, but this is true.
Well, he's dead.
So
he was also human.
Away from the tiny, tiny flaw in my theory that it formed part of the fourth book, a major part of the fourth book. He was expecting Moody. It wasn't as though Moody walking in came as a surprise, and he exhibited all the characteristics of the Moody that... I'm just trying to dig myself out of the hole that I thought the Potter books went 1, 2, 3, 5, 6 at the moment. But yeah, I think that, you know, he knew it was him. He expected him to drink out of his hip flask, but that, you know, there was something, you know, it didn't come out of the ordinary. But if a younger Voldemort walked into the castle now, they'd think, well, aren't you supposed to be a bit older and look like
not
a snake?
Not necessarily, because the students wouldn't. The students
not handsome Tom Riddle.
Yeah, but some of the teachers would.
Oh, the students wouldn't. But when he turns up at Potions and puts his hand into the air to ask a question,
well, I mean,
they might,
just an offhand, but
yeah, what's this new student?
They'll notice, what's this new student going around Hogwarts, and Harry would notice
even vaguer. I mean, they would just probably see his green robes and then assume. I mean, if he walks in as he is now, obviously he can't even pass for human. But okay, so the Polyjuice Potion, I mean, in reconnaissance, in the end, do you think the Polyjuice Potion can de-age a person? I mean, obviously there's better ways to gain youth. I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, there's spells and potions to, like, get wrinkles away, Polyjuice Potion in general, do you think it can make people younger if they use older?
It doesn't really make you younger. Just can you transform into a younger body, a younger version of yourself? I would guess so.
Transform into a younger person.
Because, like you said,
unless there's some rule that says if the Polyjuice potion when you drink it, when it realizes that it matches your DNA,
well, maybe
it just
you'd have to
work.
Maybe you'd have to brew the potion at that time.
See like what do you mean? Oh, what? Would it still be good?
Brew the potion at that time, as opposed to saving the hair to brew.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, how long does it keep? Yeah. Can you refrigerate it?
So,
I don't know.
Is it like Jell-O?
But you can't, because it takes like a month to brew.
10 points. Anybody can name the book that the Polyjuice Potion came from.
Chamber of Secrets.
Most potent
with an E. Potions.
Yes. It's still
good job.
All right. And the other email question.
Our next question comes from, our final question comes from Eric Griffin of Los Angeles. I tried and tried to send voicemails and emails to y'all, and unfortunately they haven't gone through or something. But I have a really good question I want to take a crack at. Want you to take a crack at. Okay, so how is it that every 10 pages in the Harry Potter books, they're in the Great Hall eating sponge cake and treacle tarts? But Hogwarts doesn't have a physical education program. Where is the gym? Why are they all not fat? And why? And Quidditch is an exercise, even for 7 people who do get to play it.
Do you know, I've been wondering this since the first time I sort of book one, and it said, and all of the steak disappeared and was replaced by 1,000 puddings with whipped cream on top and stuff.
The simple answer is they're not American. They don't overeat, right?
No, but seriously, I've been wondering this the entire time. And in like book, I think it was 3, when it's like, thanks, said Harry, watching Seamus pile ketchup on his sausages, you know, and stuff like that. So
well, you
like,
know, ketchup, very fattening.
Okay, Ben.
You're right. I guess I didn't.
When you put it on 10 sausages, it's, you know, it's like. But no,
it's true.
I've been
that's
this
true.
All from then, and I have no answer for it apart from the fact that it's magical and that it's.
Consider that Hogwarts is huge and they have to walk all over it.
Huh?
That's true.
Well, no, but that walk. Still doesn't. I mean, larger people walk around
all the time.
Well, but my point is that it's like asking, why don't you ever see them brush your teeth in the
I think it's but
or go to the bathroom.
I think it's,
right.
I think it's slightly different than
exactly.
that though, because
Harry hasn't had a shower for 6 books.
Sure, he had a bath.
Well, okay, but we talked about that. Yes, we did. But at the same time, I think this is slightly more. I mean, it's not even like astronomy where it was mentioned in the back half of all the books, you know, and then we took their owl there or whatever. It's not even like what do they do for exercise? I mean, you can't. I mean, I wanted to say when I first read this that Harry runs from Voldemort all the time, you know, and he's always dashing around chambers and stuff. So that's how he keeps skinny. But you know, it's in the genes. But no, it's a merited question. Well, it's not facetious. It's not done in spite, you know, just to say, oh, he hasn't taken a bath or anything like that. This is an actual question. And bridging off what Eric Griffin said, you know, in book one, when they all have flying lessons, Why do they teach them flying lessons? Why does Madame Hooch teach everybody flying lessons? Because
so they can ride broomsticks.
Yeah, but at the same time, not all of them will be playing Quidditch. And if you think about it, they won't actually be flying on broomsticks unless they don't live.
Not everyone is going to be doing Defense Against the Dark Arts. But
well, I think everybody
anyway.
Will have to eventually stop a... You can stop a jinx from your friends.
I don't need to know pre-calculus, but I'm still taking it.
Exactly, yeah. I was just going to say, last year I learned about the periodic table of elements. I already forget that copper is Cu.
Okay. But what point taken, but what I'm saying is that even if you, if you don't live in a densely muggle-populated area like the Weasley twins, then it's okay. But everybody else who does live in a muggle-populated area, the only time you might actually be on a broomstick at all is after your seventh year, after you've graduated. I mean, once you need to start traveling and stuff like that, why would flying lessons even be there for everybody and be there in the first year? Because as we've seen in the later books, it was okay in book one, and it was a plot device to get Harry on the Quidditch team. But at the same time, how often do people actually – that's not a method of travel for wizards. It doesn't seem to be a method of travel for wizards. Unless you want to be very inconspicuous and seriously almost harm, the barrier in between muggles and wizards. It's just – so where do they get exercise?
Or maybe because flying's fun.
Well, maybe they do have a gym class and we just don't know about
it. And it wasn't even –
maybe
almost.
Hagrid's like their phys ed teacher.
Or maybe the food is magically enchanted to burn up.
And I think it was Jamie gave the answer that they just know how much their metabolisms can handle.
So yeah, thank you for sending your emails. Remember, you can contact us at mugglecast@staff.mugglenet.com. If you have any questions, use the form on the site, mugglecast.com. Go ahead and send that
in. We do enjoy reading all of your emails. We get a lot of them.
Get to your email sooner, but yeah, there you go. Now, finally this week, to wrap up the show, we have a chicken soup for the Muggle Castle, my favorite segment. This comes from Zoe from New Jersey. Well, wow, New Jersey, coincidence there.
Well, I didn't put it in.
Yeah, I know. Dear Mugglecasters, I just wanted to say congratulations on 70 episodes. It's unbelievable to see such a talented, expressive group of people putting their time towards something useful. Mugglecast is the most personality-filled podcast I've listened to. I've been a listener since episode 10, and I fell in love with it instantly. My daughter was recently diagnosed with cancer, and she loves Harry Potter. 2 weeks ago, she had to spend 3 days in the hospital, so I let her take my iPod. And all the episodes made her 3 days a whole lot better. You are all so professional, and it is good to know that not all America's and the UK's teenagers are going to waste. When I actually realized your ages, I was amazed. Good life, good pickles, and to hell with Laura Mallory.
Whoa.
Zoe. Isn't that so sweet? I'm going to get a little bit sentimental here. Like, this, to me, is when, you feel like you've had the most impact, is when you hear the stories. Last August, don't you guys remember last August when we were at New York City? There was a lady who came up to the podium to get something signed, and ask Jamie. It was touching. She was a member of the visually impaired, and MuggleCast was what, it just made her life easier. And, the people who've lost weight, the people who have, everyone that's impacted, it's great.
I agree. I found this email last night, and I said to Jamie, you know what? I love doing MuggleCast. This is the reason why, because of the emails like this.
It is true.
Yeah. And then we went to bed.
It's very touching. So, remember, if MuggleCast has changed your life in some way, email us in.
Because we do like reading them.
Jamie, do you have a British joke this week?
Okay, well, I was planning on doing one, but then I realized I'm at Andrew's house in America, so I couldn't possibly do one this week.
it'd be a disgrace, wouldn't it?
Yep. Next week I'll have two.
Yeah, that's what you
How many times have you
says.
Said that? Yeah. You're so, like five now.
Someone go through the episodes and find out how many jokes Jamie owes us. I'm sure.
And how many Dumbledore Norris facts he owes.
And by the way, don't check how many P.O. Box updates I owe you, because it's none. Zero.
Yeah, it wouldn't by chance be like 70.
Yeah, probably. Well, folks, that wraps up this week's show. Like I said, happy 2007. Keep on listening. Remember, your MuggleCast t-shirts are now collector's items.
Yeah, that's true.
I wonder how long it'll be till they're on eBay.
How long till they're on eBay?
Yeah.
I'd love to go on eBay right now and see if...
I wanted to get five.
Let's start selling them through eBay.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Papa Use Sims.
Use the MuggleCast t-shirts secretly.
They're on 10.
So that wraps up this week's show from...
contact info, contact info.
Oh, yeah, contact information. Our P.O. Box, P.O. Box 223, Mount Kansas. Kansas, 67107. Send us everything, confetti, you name it. We want it. Andrew, phone numbers in the U.S., 1-218-20-MAGIC.
If you're in the United Kingdom, you can always dial 020-8144-0677. If you're in Australia, you can dial 028-003-5668. You can also Skype the username MuggleCast and leave us a voicemail message that way. We'll get to some voicemails next week. We have a lot of questions concerning the Deathly Hallows, of course. So you can Skype the username MuggleCast. Just try to keep your message under 30 seconds and eliminate as much background noise as possible. You can also go to MuggleCast.com for all the contact information and a handy feedback form.
Yeah.
And don't forget, you can always directly contact any of us. Our first name at staff.mugglenet.com. Over to you, Ben.
So, yeah, good night, everybody. Have fun. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm Ben Shane.
I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Jamie Lawrence.
I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Laura Thompson.
Good night.
Good night. Yeah, and they'd all be celebrating with me. Well, you guys, now what is the true story of Britney Spears? I know you guys has something to do with her collapsing in that hotel, that casino.
Britney Spears?
She just dropped. I mean, I saw it on the news. I saw it, like every single, like the Bellagio, every single casino like shot out fireworks and stuff. But what happened with Britney?
What are you talking about?
Dude, Britney Spears collapsed in a casino in Vegas minutes after she hosted.
Eric. Vegas is quite a big place, you know. We can't be in every single way.
Yeah, but that was your chance to assume the responsibility here in front of all the people.
Well, you're right. My my pop star collapsing radar went off, so yeah.
I forgot to check my regular Britney Spears fan site this morning. Sorry.
We just couldn't find her in time.
Well, besides... you're lame. Besides Britney Spears... collapsing.
What the hell? That was big national phenomena. I heard it in Pennsylvania. Seriously.
Yeah, I'm looking on Google News. I don't see a thing about it.
Me neither.
Ben, where are you going with this? Were you doing into the name intros?
Can I just say one last thing?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, in the break for news. And
anyway, oh, yeah. So Eric, do you names the news
One last comment. I was going to say... Eric, you heard it in Pennsylvania. She must have fell pretty damn loudly.
Yeah. I meant I heard of it, Jamie.
So, by the way, I had a 5-week layoff. I know you all missed me.
Yeah, where you been, Ben?
I've been in Chicago, New York City, Hong Kong.
Oh, that's right.
London.
You're a published author now. I forgot.
Yeah, I'm a hot shot. I'm a hot shot.
Rockstar life, eh?
Yeah, it's a rough life. Like I said, it's rough being Ben Shane. As Elton John would say, the Ben is back. Yeah. Well, he said another B word, but we can't go into that. Even though the news has been slow this past week, let's go to Micah Tannenbaum for a look at this past week's Harry Potter news stories.
I think you forget how to do this, dude.
We just do the names, and then it cuts into the news. Yeah,
you don't do that anymore?
No.
Yeah,
oh, man, I'm so out of it. I've been gone so long.
I'll just cut that out. We'll use that. Never mind.
I thought it was a good transition, though.
Okay, but...
All right, fine.